Welcome to Drink Beer, Think Beer, the podcast that gets to the bottom of every pint. I'm John Hall. On this episode, we're taking a deep dive onto what goes into making great IPA. Steve Parker of New York's Fiden Brewery is my guest. First, please go visit allaboutbeer.com. There, you can find original articles, reviews, news, insights, and podcasts. You can listen to shows like Brewer to Brewer and the All About Beer podcast simply by searching All About Beer wherever you listen to shows. And you can follow All About Beer on Instagram, Threads, X, and Facebook at All About Beer. Also, don't forget, keep up with all of the great smoked beer news and releases by checking out This Week in Rauch Beer. You can search the group on Facebook or follow at TW Rauch Beer on X, Threads, and Instagram. Apparel is also available too on allaboutbeer.com/merch. This show and all of the work we do, it's supported by you. Please go visit patreon.com/allaboutbeer. A few bucks goes a long way to help keep the content fresh and to fund writers, photographers, creators, and editors. And if you'd like to learn more about advertising on this show, please email info@allaboutbeer.com. It's not an exaggeration to say that there are tons of hazy IPA out in the world. It's the most popular style of craft beer, and most breweries make at least one. Often, these are okay beers, and some could be better. But it's the ones of excellence that come from a smart and thoughtful place that are the ones to really seek out and enjoy. I was introduced to the IPAs of Fiden's Brewery last year during the Denver Rare Beer Tasting. In a sea of hazy, their IPA stood as a full-bodied island of layered flavor. Last week, during a trip to Albany for the New York State Brewers Conference, I stopped by the Fiden's tasting room to go through all that was on tap, including a delightful Rauch beer, but mostly to marvel at the IPA. Shortly after, I was able to get Steve Parker on the line. He's the head brewer and co-founder of Fiden's, and I was able to ask him just why his IPA stands so tall, all while picking up a little brewery history and insight along the way. Here's our conversation. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. I had a lot of fun at your brewery last week when I was there, including this really nicely smoked Rauch beer that you had on draft that I think you did with Wayward Lane.
Correct. Yep.
How hard is it to sell Rauch beer in a brewery that is predominantly known for its IPAs?
I mean, this is our first one, so I can let you know in a couple weeks.
I bought one, and yeah, that's probably it for right now.
It seemed to go pretty well on draft. It was, people were digging it. I thought the beer came out great. So it's fun to, now that we have the tap room, to expand into other styles and, you know, more sessionable drinking beers.
I mean, is it a fun departure to do styles like that? Because I imagine, I mean, I don't know how collaborations work these days. I shouldn't say I imagine, but in the past it was always, yeah, let's just do an IPA. Right. And I imagine because of the reputation that you all have with your IPAs, that you have brewers that come in that actually want to learn something from you all.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, yeah, it's, I mean, how it works with that collab is Adam at Wayward has been a friend of ours pretty much since we opened and he opened, and we get along really well, and we do vastly different styles, but we appreciate each other's styles. So he did a big triple hazy, which they really never do, and we were kind of like, let's do a smoke beer and just to do something completely different that people would not expect from either one of us. So it was kind of fun, and it was a learning process for both of us. And, you know, it's fun to do collabs with different, like, lager breweries or breweries that don't focus mostly on hops, to learn from them. And that's what I really like. I mean, we do hops a lot. Hops is what our passion is, but it's also fun. Excuse me. It's also fun to explore other styles and really test yourself and learn something new.
So hops are your passion.
Yep.
Are the IPAs, are those the beers that's like speak to you as a brewer? Are those the ones that get you excited to get out of bed in the morning to go make? Or is there a style aside from IPA that really speaks to you as a brewer, but being where we are in the industry right now, where hops rule everything around us,
Right. No,
that's what you.
hops are what I love to do. I mean, that's what started us in the business was hops. And when we opened, I mean, even until really until we had the tap room, 95 to 98% of what we did was hops. That's the beers that we like to drink. That's the beers that we enjoy. And you know, we come in every day and you know, I love, you know, tasting a beer throughout the process and in the fermenter and in the bright and you know, just getting excited when you taste that beer and it's just the hops are expressing the way that you want it. And it's so it still drives us is definitely the hops.
So,
For
you know,
sure.
go ahead. Yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, even in Haze or West Coast, recently, you know, I fell in love with West Coast IPA again a couple of years ago after being out on the West Coast and drinking the new style West Coast that are coming out of the West Coast, such as North Parks and Green Cheeks. And I was just really blown away with what they're doing out there. So I wanted to bring that back home as well. So, I mean, everything, you know, our passion is hops.
So, all right, I'm glad you brought up the West Coast IPA because
Sure.
before I left the brewery the other day, I pulled one of the paper menus out of its plastic sleeve and shoved it in my briefcase. I told your server I was doing it and they were swapping them out, so it was fine. It wasn't full on theft. But I wanted to remember this because your West Coasts, how do I start this? I have a complicated relationship with Mosaic. In that I don't care for it. It's a hop that just does not speak to me. So when I rolled up on your place on Thursday and I saw, ooh, West Coast IPA, I got really excited because I'm thinking of the classic C hops. And three out of your four, I'm just confirming this, West Coast IPAs all feature Mosaic. And not only that, but it's Idaho 7. There's Strata, there's Nelson in some of these. There is a local collab that you have that has some Crosby hops. That was a fun collab that I had from you all. But three of the four feature these modern hops that I don't always associate with bitterness, which is how I associate West Coast IPA. So walk me through your version, like the modern version in Upstate New York of what a West Coast IPA is with modern hops these days.
I mean, I guess it's got to start when I took a trip out west and went to North Park and sat down and I had Hop Fu and the other West Coast that Kelsey's doing. And I was just really blown away because it was not, as you said, it wasn't the sea hops, it wasn't the heavy crystal malt and heavy bitterness. I mean, there is some bitterness, but not as heavy as it was. And it's just really a platform to just let the hops just shine. I mean, it's just there's no yeast. It's just Pilsner malt. So I was just I had it and I was just really blown away and I really just really loved it. And then so we came back home and you know Kelsey was nice enough to help me out and help me out to kind of write, you know, our first recipe and our process and we kind of took it from there. And so kind of like with the modern West Coast that they're doing is it's these modern hops. So it's not focused so much on bitterness and the malt flavor, but it's more about the hop, letting that flavor and really shine from those different hops. Mosaic to me is the absolute best West Coast IPA hop. It is, I
All
mean, it's
right.
everything that you want, in my opinion, for
Okay,
that
so all
hop.
right, so convince me then.
Sure. I mean, to me,
But
like
I
really,
know
I
that's
mean,
such an asshole thing to say, like
no,
I'm the one,
not,
like
it's
I'm the
not.
one who needs to change, you know, needs my perspective changed when it's clearly popular with everybody else. But I'm fascinated by this. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, listen, hops, you know, people that like even our brewers here and our staff here, like we have certain hops that they just can't stand, you know, and it doesn't mean the beer is bad or does it's just some people's flavor profile or, you know, palate just does not agree with those hops. But for our hops, like for the West Coast, Mosaic for us gives us that beautiful fruit, a little bit of orange, sometimes that nice blueberry character, but also providing that dank kind of element that is really, really nice in a West Coast. That's just my type of palate. It seems to be a lot of, like you said, a lot of other people really enjoy that hop as well in that style. We don't use that too much in our hazies, just a little bit, and if we do, it's just very, very, very lightly. But in the West Coast, it's definitely a big part of the hot bill. I mean, I don't know, so maybe this is not for you, which
no,
is fine.
Which is fine. No, I know. I have I have a 7-year-old and, you know, picky eater and, you know, right, a lot of food. Right. It's just not for her. Right. So what else did you learn about making some of these West Coasts? And, you know, because I mean, it should have some differentials from the haze.
Yeah. It's to me, it's
so process wise. Yeah.
Well, process wise, the grain bill is completely different. It's just all Pilsner malt. And we kind of look for like a really like clean, ultra light Pilsner to really just let the hop shine. The body should be thin. It should finish super low to get that crisp dryness. Carbonation is also much higher. I really like a nice carb in a West Coast. And it's just, and it has a little more bitterness, but I think it creates a more drinkable format than haze, but just different. You know, with haze, they're very thick. You know, sometimes a little sweet. This is the total opposite of that. It's just very dry. It's just clean, dry, hoppy, drinkable, high carbonation. So that's kind of like our format. I mean, it's just, there's really no yeast expression. We use 3470 for our West Coast, and it's just clean. I mean, it's just a very clean yeast profile, again, just to allow those hops to shine.
So what was interesting and why I noticed Mosaic in the West Coast, out of the 13 IPAs, double IPAs and triple IPAs that you have on, 11 of them do not feature Mosaic. So 2 of them do. And right. Mosaic to me has always been that quintessential modern hazy IPA hop. And you saying that it lends itself better to the West Coast, to those malt bills, to all of that. Is that something that came to you before you started doing the West Coast? Like was Mosaic heavily featured in your hazies early on and now not
yes.
so much? Okay.
Yeah. I think the hazies that we're on were probably some of the first beers that we brewed. It definitely was in there. The one thing that I noticed with that hop with hazy, it's color as well. When that hop is heavily used in hazy beer, the color is just not as nice. And that's just because of the oils in that hop. I mean, there's a couple of them. Strata's one, Simcoe is kind of one that if we use those in hazies, it's just light. It's not as heavy. But yes, once I started doing the West Coast, I was just like, wow, this hop really expresses the way that I want in this style of beer. So that's why we kind of lean with it. I would say again, most of our West Coasts have it.
Yeah. Talk to me about the color though in the hazies. Like
sure.
What was it visually that was, you didn't use the word off-putting, but what was the word that, or what was the hue? What was the color that you just didn't enjoy?
It's almost like a really like, I would say dark orange ish.
Okay.
People drink with their eyes first.
Yeah.
I mean, when that, especially with hazy, you know, people want to see that, you know, orangey, you know, like a lighter orange to almost that yellow color in their beer. And, you know, I mean, I go back and look at beers, you know, and malt bill has something to do with that as well. But I feel a lot more has to do with dry hop. So we have noticed like beers that when we dry hop with those hops, the color is just not as nice. And, you know, I went back and I looked at beers when we first opened and I went, oh my God, like they were like this dark and not pleasant looking. And it's just, you know, evolution of just knowing what hops to use where and the process as you, and also to getting better quality hops. As the more hops that you use, you get to hand select your own hops and really figure out, you know, because every hop, I mean, you sit at the table and every hop smells different, you know, so it's really honing in to what style of Citra you want, or Simcoe, or Mosaic, or Nelson, or Idaho 7 that fits for your product.
Yeah. What are those conversations like in the brew house when, you know, you're thinking about appearance, when you're thinking about, you know, what dry hopping is doing to it, you know, the evolutionary conversations to dial in that process. What's that like for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's a sensory, obviously. It's a lot of note taking. It's just, I mean, we write everything down. I mean, everything down, everything is paper written and put in, on like a spreadsheet. So we just know like what hops are hopped with what, and then we would just look, say, hey, what, you know, if something's off with this beer or color appearance, like everything tastes fine, but color appearance, and we look like, oh, maybe we, you know, back in the day we were like, oh, we were really heavy on this hop. Let's try to lighten that up, add a little more of this, and we notice a huge difference in that color. You know, and I will say, like, we, you know, we taste and look at everything pre-dry hop, and it's all pretty similar. I mean, all the wort or looks, all the beer looks pretty similar pre-dry hop. So it's pretty cool to see what these hops do for color.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, and there's a lot of brewer friends that I talk to as well that have that same sentiment where, you know, both Mosaic and Simcoe and Strata is all very, 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 very light with the dry hop, and use West Coast or in the Whirlpool as well. Those are good Whirlpool hops, but not always the best for dry hopping for us.
Yeah. Are you trying to create a signature for the Fidens IPAs?
Yeah, always. That was something that when I opened, when we opened and I started brewing, I never wanted our beer to people to say, oh, this tastes like a whatever. And I think if you look at the really good haze brewers around the country, they have their signature flavor. There's like, you could drink that beer and say, yeah, that's a whoever beer.
Yeah.
So that was something that we always strive for. And, you know, we kind of like the way that we do it. And a lot of our customers, you know, they say it, and you know, that we do have this distinct flavor, smell, that they know exactly that it's a Fidens beer. And that's one of the biggest compliments that they tell me, because that's exactly in the beginning what I wanted. You know, I never wanted to just be, you know, this smells like every other hoppy beer. You know, it has to stick out. It has to be different.
Yeah. So can you walk me through that then for somebody who walks in?
Sure.
For the first time, what is the Fidens signature?
I mean, first is our mouthfeel. That's something that was picked up pretty early, and it's our mouthfeel. It's a combination, I believe, of our grain bill. I think it's our yeast. I think it's the hops that we use. Again, it's, you know, because that hopping, dry hopping has a, I believe, in my opinion, has a impact on mouthfeel and how it works. But I think the first thing and the one thing is just that mouthfeel, that creamy mouthfeel.
I'm so delighted that you said mouthfeel first. I don't know if I've ever heard a brewery say that before.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the one thing that it's the one thing that our customers, and they just really, just when they drink it, it's just like the mouthfeel. But again, it's that hop expression. You know, we want that hoppiness. We want a little bit of that yeast character coming through as well. Our yeast character kind of puts like a little tartness as well, which is a little bit different, which we like. And it's just, and we also add a little bit of bitterness. I mean, you know, we start between 10 and 15 at 60 IBUs at 60 minutes. I know that's not a lot, but it just adds that little bit, and it helps to me. And we kind of intentionally, we match a little bit lower. We keep our pH really low. So we want, like, when you take a sip of Fidens beer, it's all that hop, that sweet malt a little bit, and then that juice experience, and then it finishes with like a nice drying bitterness that's not lingering, it's there, and it's off your palate, and you're kind of ready for that next sip. So we really try to make our haze like drinkable. I don't know if that makes sense, but like a really like drinkable haze that you can just, you know, a lot of times when I talk to people, like, oh man, the glass is half gone already. And I'm like, see, you know, and so that's, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no. But I mean, but that's something that I think is difficult to find in hazies these days.
Yeah.
An absolute drinkability. I feel like people, at least when I'm observing out, it's more nursing than it is, knocking something back like a traditional West Coast or like a lager or, maybe not a round beer, but but I mean, that has to take discipline then, right?
Yeah. It's just, I think we're very pH heavy. I mean, we're very pH, we're very focused on our pH. Again, talking to other people, they go a little bit higher with their pHs. We keep our pH 5.2. If I'm at 5.1, it's fine. We keep our finishing beer kind of low, and it kind of creates this like just little tartness and this little, to me, the hop expression is a little better. The drinkability is a little better. The higher pH you get, it kind of gets, in my opinion, gets a little muddled, just kind of flat. So again, it's a process. It wasn't like this always at the beginning. It was just a process of, brewing and small tweaks throughout the thing to get it to where we want to go. And, when we sit down and write a recipe or when I'm thinking about what to do, it always kind of comes back to, can you take a 4-pack of this home and drink it?
Yeah.
And enjoy it. Cause that type of beer will never go out of style.
And drink the actual 4-pack, not just like bring a 4-pack home, maybe have one and then three sitting in your beer fridge for forever.
Right. Yes. So take it home and drink it and enjoy it. And I think that's something that we strive for. I mean, it's kind of like when I was home brewing, I used to listen to a lot of podcasts and read stuff, and John Kimmich, he did a podcast, and he was talking about that drinkability, and it always stuck with me, was like, drinkable beer, something that you can take home and drink every day, or whenever you want to drink that beer. Is that's the type of beer that, again, will never, people want that. And so that's always, just since I've been doing this, we're going on 4.5 years, that's something that, when that's like when I write a recipe, that's what I'm thinking. That's where I want all of our beer. Even if it's a pale all the way up to a triple, I want that drinkability.
I like that. And it's just, you're saying all these things about a style that, can be maligned by folks. And certainly I have in the past, but that speak to sort of an old school drinking sensibility on a, mm-hmm. on a new school. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's just, the way it is. And I always like that, because I have had other beers and sometimes they're overly sweet and I just, like you said, you could have one and then you're just like, all right, I want something else.
Yeah.
We designed like, hey, you take a 4-pack of Jasper home, you want to sit down and have a can or two or maybe three, or bring some cans to your buddy, and sit down and just enjoy beer and just enjoy drinking beer around people and socializing. That's kind of what the whole thing of beer is. It's sometimes it's like, I feel you get a little bit too much in analyzing beer, and we should just enjoy beer and enjoy the drinkability and social aspect of beer.
I like that. Is Jasper a flagship?
Yeah. Jasper's our all citra double. That's a beer that we brew. We do about 230 barrel batches a month of that beer, and it sells really, really good for us. And then we have some variations of it, Jasper Nelson, Jasper Peacherine. Then we do like triple versions of it. But yeah, it's a, it's Citra for the hazies is our number one hop. We contract a lot of Citra. So basically for Jasper, mostly for okay. Jasper.
What do you look for in Citra?
So Citra, this year's Citra was kind of the Citra that I've been searching for a little while.
Okay.
It was a really good lot we picked up. It was this beautiful orange citrus, but it had this little bit of sweet orange to it. that was just fantastic. And a little bit of dankness, not too much, but just a little bit to let you know it's still beer. And but it was just that like beautiful, like citrus, sweet orange. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Something pungent, something, you know, that I that's, I mean, we found that hop and I was just like, I want this. So, you know, it's, I was pretty happy with it. And, you know, as we start selecting, I mean, we've only been selecting 2 years, so I'm learning and we're working. We work a lot with Yakima Chief and Freestyle and some other hop ones, but you know, Yakima Chief has been really good to work with. They have, you know, I can really focus on if I want early or target or late harvest and oil content and HSI. And I mean, I could really like narrow in and I kind of tell them what I'm looking for. Then when I get to the table, they kind of, I'm not wasting time on hops that I'm not going to want, you know? So they dial it in for me. Their sensory panel is outstanding. So I get there and I get to pick from like four or five really good lots and really just like kind of nitpick because they're all really good, but you're just kind of looking for that perfect lot. And it's been cool. I'm just excited to go next year and we just keep narrowing down what we like, what states we like it from. I'm finding a big difference in the states. I'm really falling in love with Oregon hops. Like I just really like their I don't know. They just have this characteristic that I just really enjoy.
What's the characteristic? Can you dial that down a little bit more?
They have this like, I don't know if I want to. It's just potency, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, because you do all this blind at first. You don't. I mean, you don't have to, but I like to. You do it blind, so you don't know where any of these hops are. You don't know anything, and then you get to really pick, and then you're just realizing like, oh, I keep picking these late harvest Oregon hops. I'm really liking these. We had Yakima Chief Matt, our Yakima Chief rep. He came to the brewery, and it was a couple months ago, and we sat down and he pulled out 12 hops. He didn't tell me what hop they were or anything, and I just would just smell them. And after the sensory panel, you know, it was hops from Washington, Idaho, Oregon. Some were early pick, target pick, and late pick. And all of my favorites were late pick, all the late picks, and Oregon was just, that was my, it was just something about it. Just the potency. So, I mean, we got our Mosaic, your favorite hop from Oregon. And it's so potent. I mean, it is. A little bit goes a long way in our beer. Like we just, some beers, like even with hazies, we just throw 11 pounds in the dry hop and I'm like, yeah, I can smell it. So but it's just knowing what you're looking for and then knowing how, and now like the big thing is for me is making sure that what I smell on the table translates into the beer.
I get
so,
that.
Yeah. Cause sometimes not everything, you smell something on the table and I'm like, it doesn't work in the beer. So it's you know, you come back, you do some test batches, make sure it's good to go, and then you're off and running.
I noticed when you were there the other day that there is a Jasper with pineapple.
Yeah.
And you're using fruit in this?
Yeah, we use it in the Bright. We add it in the Bright and it's people love it. We actually started doing it when we used to just do cans on Saturdays. We would take a couple
simpler times. Yeah.
Simpler times. Yeah. Then we would just do, we would take like a 6-ill of beer and we'd add a little fruit to it and we'd crowler it and people loved it. And, I mean, they would go crazy. And so we'd be like, So then we just add some into the Bright tank or we keg dose it for the tap room and people, it sells really fast. People enjoy it for sure.
Is it just, I mean, it sounds to me like you don't do anything without a process, without purpose.
Sure.
So when you're adding adjuncts to, you know, or flavoring to your IPA,
yep.
What are you looking for? You're saying the people like it, but I mean, nothing I imagine gets past you first. So,
Yeah, there's some there's some fruits we don't. I don't really fruit any New Zealand hot beers. I've found that they just don't play well. American hops play, American. I mean, it just to me it clashes a little bit, and it's just, it's not like it's bad. We do it once in a while, but for the most part, I like to just leave those beers, you know, let them be. And but you know, Jasper's, you know, Citra for one, Citra and pineapple play so well together. And then we do like Eugene's Axe, which is Citra Galaxy. We'll use pineapple in that, but we use other fruits like mango and peach. The mango is okay. Not a huge fan of the peach, but I always get asked all the time, when's the peach coming back? So I'm like, oh, maybe, maybe do a keg of it then. But it just really comes down to taste. And I think it represents our fight as well and represents our product the way I want it to.
That's awesome. And is it puree or whole fruit?
Puree.
Like what's your, okay.
Puree.
Yeah. What do you look for? Because I know there's so many different companies out there, and the way that, that it sounds like you're thoughtful with selecting your hops. Did you go through that same process with the purees?
Yeah, we looked at some purees and we just found, you know, we're just looking for that true pineapple flavor.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't go heavy with it. It's very light. So it's more of an accent of the beer. It's not like it's a dominant. You're going to taste it and you're going to be like, oh, yep. You know, it's going to be on the nose and it's going to be a little bit on the palate, and it just complements the beer nicely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we searched. We just were looking for that, you know, that true authentic. Again, make sure we did small batches with different ones to make sure that and we found one that we like and we rock with it.
So you brought up the New Zealand, the Southern Hemisphere beers, and there's certainly a whole bunch that in just looking at this list that's in front of me again right now, that you're using those. And I feel like there's been an evolution maybe over the last 5 or so years, and I lost time because of COVID, but where they've been available for a while, brewers have been interested in them. There seems to be greater availability now and a growing understanding of what some of these beers or what some of these hops can do in beers. What have you been learning in brewing with some of these Southern Hemisphere hops?
Oh, I love them. they're my favorite hops right now. We really work with Freestyle mostly. Freestyle has been great. So I think they're really, you know, you speak with them and you can really, really hone in what you're looking for these hops. And I think like the American hops, they are starting to figure out the pick windows and really targeting what brewers are looking for. I'll just take our Nelson this year. Our Nelson this year, I called it kind of like a sweeter, more tropical Nelson. It still had that Nelson funk that I like to, you know, and that white wine and, you know, all that great stuff in Nelson, but it had this really nice tropical, almost sweeter note to it. And it was a very late pick. I mean, it was a really late pick Nelson that they normally weren't going for. So I think they're listening to brewers, and I think they're bringing in people to help really define those pick windows and really capture. Because I mean, hops can change within days. I mean, a hop goes, you know, they have to pick it and process it within a very short window. I mean, it's unbelievable what they do. And so it's very hands-on. Gotta be a hard job. It's just, I mean, you're probably working for 40 days straight, you know, just to really hone in and get these things right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they've really helped with that. And it's just, to me, the pungency and the flavor that we get from these hops is just outstanding. And they mix so well with Citra and all the other hops that we use that it's just been a no-brainer. I mean, Nelson is probably the second biggest hop that we use besides Citra.
Really?
Yep. We go through a lot of Nelson.
That's cool.
Nelson. Yep. Yep. Well, Motueka is great. I mean, that lemon lime it provides, it's so refreshing. I mean, we've done lagers with it that have been great. We're actually going to brew a NZ Cascade lager next week, which is it's just it's they're just really, really awesome hops that have such a you can use them for just about anything. And Racal or Raku, excuse me, is a, I mean that's a great hop, and it's these hops that were kind of written off for a while, and then they then the farmers you know figured out really those pick windows, and the hops were changing to more of the fruitier aspects that the brewers were looking for. So it's pretty cool.
I dig that. So as you think about how you as a brewer, your relationship has evolved with hops and hop forward styles. Where are you putting your thought, your energy now into evolving processes or finding new paths forward that create beers that have that Fiedens DNA, but also spark your creativity and curiosity?
Yeah, I mean, for one, I think it's the new hop products that are coming out. It is pretty wild to see the stuff that they're coming out with, the extracts, the cryo, it's like the hop keefs. So I mean it's cool. It's cool to start playing like taking our recipes that we had with our T90s and inserting these hop products and seeing if we like them. And a lot of times they're really good. And they say and they help our yield. You know, which is great, but I think it's just exploring, and it's always, you know, tinkering and having that relationship with your hop reps or your grain, whoever you're dealing with, to get any of your stuff. It's very important to have that relationship with, and you know, I mean, we just got sent some NZH 101, which was in the Yakima Chief collab beer, which. I think only like one other brewery got it in the Northeast.
I don't know
And
if that I'm even familiar with what that is.
so that's a experimental hop that they're growing down there from NZ Hops. It's pretty wild. I mean, it is it's we had it and we opened the bag and it was just the most potent. It was like Nelson on steroids kind of and like super cannabis. It was I don't know if I'd use it in a hazy, or I would use a little bit, but definitely in the West Coast, it came out great. But it's just having access and that relationship with our hop vendors and the farmers that they have the confidence to send us these hops to try them out, and it's just that's what's fun and just trying new processes and new things. That's what kind of keeps us and still staying true to who we are and staying true to our process because a lot of times, you know, we tinker with everything. I mean, it's, you know, we look at numbers and, you know, we tinker adjustments and all the time. It's kind of, you know, drinking your own beer sometimes can be the worst thing because you don't, you're just examining it. You're like looking, I could do this better. I could do that better. So, I mean, that's just kind of what we do all the time. But now getting to play around with some of this other stuff is really cool.
I like that. I wanted to ask you the Green Door question, which is
Sure.
I've been asking this question on the show for quite a while now, but the premise is the television show The Good Place in the final season introduces a concept of a green door where the characters can walk through it and be anywhere they want, doing whatever they wanted to do. So if you could
Sure.
walk through a green door at the end of this conversation and be at any pub or any brewery anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? Who would you
Oh,
want to be
God.
with? And what would you like to be drinking?
If I could open a green door and go anywhere, I don't know the exact place I would go, but my grandfather was a big beer drinker. You know, it'd be cool to, you know, it'd be cool to just sit in a dive bar with my grandfather drinking lager, watching baseball. That would be kind of my green door.
I like that.
You know, because he's, I mean, not that he sparked me an interest, but the fact now that I'm brewing beer and stuff, and you know, he it would have been pretty cool to him if I was doing that. So it would have been cool to just, you know, or even go sit at his house, and we used to always watch the Yankees and stuff, and just sit down and have a Jenny Light with my grandfather. That'd
I
probably
like
be what I
that.
wanted to.
That's cool. Hey, Steve, thanks for being on the show this
Yeah.
week. This is it was a lot of fun drinking your beers. And
Cool.
I was drinking Mosaic, and you know, I didn't I finished it. So, you know,
Well, I'll
that's
take that
a
as a compliment. Thank you.
but really, since I had your guys' beer last year at the Denver Rare Beer Tasting, and I keep hearing all about you guys, and then finally getting to taste and now talking to you. You guys got a really special thing going on up in the Capital Region. So
Thank you.
thanks for taking the time, and thanks for doing what you do.
Well, thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Who would you like to hear on the show? Who inside or outside of the beer industry would you like to hear on the air? Tell me. You can email me. It's John Hall. That's JohnHoll at allaboutbeer.com. That's also how you can get in touch with questions, comments, or anything else. A reminder, please go visit allaboutbeer.com. You can check out the podcast page, the merch page, and read great new content, as well as the archives going back to 1979. Follow All About Beer on social media at All About Beer. And if you're interested in supporting journalism in the beer space, and we hope you are, email us at info@allaboutbeer.com or go to patreon.com/allaboutbeer. Don't forget about the All About Beer podcast channel. Search and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Steal This Beer has new episodes every Monday, and the BYO Nano podcast comes out on the 15th of every month. And don't forget, check out probrewer.com each week for original articles from the All About Beer team. As for this show, Nate Schweber does the music. Jeff Quinn designed our logo. I'm John Hall, fighting off a cold. New episodes release every Wednesday, and that's when I'll be back again to drink beer and to think beer.